Something happened in February of this year. Anybody notice anything different about this February?
No snow,
that was definitely good, but something else happened. It only happens once every 4 years.
Yeah.
You guys are sharp, man. This is good.
A little help.
And at one of our prayer meetings there at the local fellowship, the word that kept just resonating in my spirit was the word leap. Quantum leap.
Amen.
Quantum leap. And I really just sensed that and it was our prayer meeting in February where we all gathered together as a body, and we have a time of corporate prayer. A lot of times what we'll do is we'll have some worship and we'll put on a little chill music and everybody kind of goes to their own little corner and prays for a little bit, listens to what God is saying, and then we come back together and declare what God has downloaded into each one of us. And I just really had a tremendous sense that there was a quantum leap that what God was going to be doing. And interesting, this is a couple of months before we knew anything about our facility change, and which basically, in retrospect now, it's like, talk about a quantum leap, a major quantum. But I really sense that, and I'm sensing that this year, this really is a year for a quantum leap in the spirit. And this word quantum, when I looked it up, it means a discrete quantity of energy proportional in magnitude to the frequency of the radiation it represents. I'm going to say that again. This word quantum, it means a discrete quantity of energy proportional in magnitude to the frequency of the radiation. And I like to put that with a capital R.
Yeah.
Proportional in magnitude to the frequency of the radiation with a capital R it represents. Now, a discrete quantity of energy, light. Light is pure energy, isn't it?
Yes.
Light is pure energy, and light has the advantage of being energy that is in the form of momentum. In other words, light does not stand still. Light moves. So light energy, you know, some energy might stay in a particular place being in it, but not, light's not like that. Light is movement. Light is momentum. It's movement. Now, go to 1 John 1:5. 1 John 1:5. What does it say? This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is light. God is momentum. God is movement. Do you know what darkness is? Darkness really does not exist. Darkness is simply the absence of light. And if light is movement and if light is momentum, then that means darkness is a lack of movement and a lack of momentum.
Yeah.
Did you know we as a church can be in darkness?
Yes.
Well, that's just the way we've always done things. If there is no movement, if there is no momentum, then we are in darkness. I don't care what we're... Well, that's just the way we've always done things. We have no reason to change. We found this formula 40 years ago, and it worked then, it ought to work now. You can have a lot of activity going on and be in darkness. Light is movement. It's momentum. God is light. God is, so if God is always moving, then what should we be doing? We should get up off our blessed assurance and move with God. That was humor, by the way. Oh. Now, some people find that very irritating. There are some, we have had some that just, they've come and they've visited the fellowship and they really like, oh, they just love it. But the trouble is we're always moving. We're always changing. And just because we did it this way, this week, that doesn't mean it's going to, and that irritates some people because they get there and, oh, we just love this. It's so wonderful. 2 weeks later, everything's different. They're like, well, just a minute. You moved my cheese. There's a book out. Who Moved My Cheese? Yeah. Just a minute, you changed things. We liked the way we did it 2 weeks ago. Well, stick around. It might come back around. But for right now, we're moving with the Spirit. And some people don't like that, but that's, you know, you gotta stay fresh. God is movement. God is momentum. He's always revealing himself. God is light. Now, the law of inertia is this. A body at rest remains at rest, and a body in motion continues to move at a constant velocity unless acted upon by an external force. I'm going to say that again. This is the law of inertia. Who was it? Whose law? Is this Newton or is it? It's one of those guys. But this is the basic law of inertia. A body at rest remains at rest, and a body in motion continues to move at a constant velocity unless acted upon by an external force. Now, one of the things that God spoke to me during our prayer time that night was, he said this. He said, leap into rest. Leap into rest. Why not just a minute? What on earth are you taught? Leap into rest. Do you know what? A body at rest remains at rest. And did you know that time ceases at the speed of light? This is something that quantum theorists have proved, that time ceases at the speed of light. So if we are, if God is light, if God is movement, if God is momentum, we know that God moves at the speed of light, doesn't he? Time ceases for him because he is outside of our time-space continuum. That's called eternity. That's where God dwells. That's where he lives, because he is always in movement and he's always moving at the speed of light. Now, if we're going to move with God, you know what's going to happen? Is time, our time restriction. Now, how many of you would like to have more time? If we are moving in the flow of God and moving with him, we're going to be set free from time restrictions. Do you know that when we grasp this idea of resting in the finished work of Christ and move with him, we will have time to get everything done that needs to be done. Amen. See, rest doesn't mean that I'm sitting on my blessed assurance doing nothing. That's not what rest is. Rest is when I cease from my works.
Amen.
See, there remains, therefore, his Hebrews 4. There remains, therefore, a rest unto the people of God. And that is when I cease from my own works. See, when God works, stuff gets done, and it gets done like that.
Hallelujah.
Leap into rest. Go to Hebrews 4, 9 through 11. Hebrews 4, 9 through 11. There remains therefore a rest unto the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did for men. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. Is this not the paradox? Let us labor. Do you know why he says let us labor therefore to enter into his rest? Because the hardest thing for you and I to do is to cease from our own works. And that's the labor of entering into his rest. Are you with me? Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Do you know what the opposite of rest is? It's not activity. The opposite of rest is not activity. The opposite of rest is unbelief. The opposite of resting in God is unbelief. Oh, I know, yet, Lord, I know that you're able to do this, but. We've got to get that but in there. Well, get the but out of the way, get that but out of the way, and let God do His thing. I almost made the mistake I made. Easter morning, you know, I've said some really stupid things when I'm preaching at times, but Easter morning, I'm delivering my Easter address, and I said something about your Bible sitting on the shelf. And you know, when you're speaking really fast, sometimes you invert your words, and it came out, instead of your Bible sitting, S-I-T-T-I-N-G, on the shelf, I inverted sitting and shelf, and it came out really bad. Of course, all the young people just roared with laughter, and all the older folks were aghast with, you know, they were turning red, and you know me, I just thought it was kind of funny, you know. So, that's the only time I've ever done that one. So, but we recovered and we went on. So, leap into rest. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. So, God is light. And this word quantum, it means a discrete quantity of energy. So, God is pure energy. Light is pure energy. God is light. And it goes on, proportional in magnitude. Proportional in magnitude. See, what I'm doing is I'm breaking down this definition of quantum. And there's four parts to it. And the first part is a discrete quantity of energy. That's what we just covered. Now we're moving to proportional in magnitude. Go to 1 John 4:17. Proportional in magnitude. 1 John 4:17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, or said another way, proportional in magnitude, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment, because proportional in magnitude, as he is, proportional in magnitude, so are we in this world. Do you understand that you and I have the potential to be proportional in magnitude as Jesus was, or is, I should say, in this world? Why? Because John 17:22, here's what he said. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them. Do you understand that everything that Jesus had, he has given to you and I? The glory. Now, the only exception is, thank goodness, he was the sacrificial lamb. And you and I don't necessarily have to literally be nailed to a cross. Although, God does have a cross tailor-made just for you. He has a personalized crucifixion with your name on it, so but it's not necessarily a literal one, okay? Proportional in magnitude. A discrete quantity of energy, a discrete quantity of God. Do you know that the Godhead dwells in you? Father, Son, Holy. That's this discrete quantity of energy proportional in magnitude. You didn't get just a little bit of God. You didn't get just a little bit of Jesus. And I stress this with our young people all the time. When you came to Christ, you did not get a baby Jesus. You got the full download. You didn't get the beta trial version. You got the full download. Fully operational. Are you with me? He says, "The glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." Proportional in magnitude. Let's keep going with this. A discrete quantity of energy, proportional in magnitude, to the frequency. Oh, let's talk about frequency for a minute. Genesis 1:3-4. Genesis 1:3-4. And God said, "Let there be frequency." Let there be light. What is light? Light is frequency. Isn't it? Because light is in the form of waves. Light frequency. Light waves. It is a frequency of pure energy that is in motion, that has momentum. God said, "Let there be light." He spoke it, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. So I can just imagine, there in Genesis 1:3-4, God says, "Let there be light." And suddenly, the sun, the moon, and the stars pop into existence, right?
Wrong.
That wasn't until day 4, was it? Well, so did God just get kind of confused or something? Well, I mean, what's the deal here? God said there be light. Let there be light. Something happened because God saw the light and it was good. But it wasn't natural light because that didn't happen until day number 4. So what do you think happened on day number 1 when God said, "Let there be light"? He spoke it into motion, and something came into being. Now, doesn't the New Testament say that we are children of
light?
So something came into being. God doesn't just say something and nothing happens. Something came into being when God said, "Let there be light," didn't He? Mm-hmm. And if we are children of light, I've got a hunch that you and I came into being right then.
Amen.
Let there be light. And God saw the light and that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And that is still what God's doing today. He's dividing light from darkness. He came to bring a sword. And that sword divides light from darkness. Go to Isaiah 55:11. Isaiah 55:11. Here's what He says. "So shall my word be." What's a word? A word is a frequency, isn't it? God spoke a frequency. "Let there be light." And it came into existence. And God says, "So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void." And here's what the Amplified Bible says. "Without producing any effect or useless. But it shall accomplish that which I please and purpose, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." So God spoke. He said, "Let there be light." And that word went out of His mouth. And that word is not returning to Him void. It is accomplishing that which He... Why? Why is it accomplishing it? Because if you go to Jeremiah 1:12, here's what it says. "Then the Lord said to me, 'You have seen well, for I'm alert and active, watching over my word to perform it.'" God spoke a frequency into you God spoke pure energy into you. God spoke Himself into you. See, when He said, let there be light, and God is light, and we're children of light, He spoke Himself into you. Amen. You want to know what your real DNA is? It's His DNA.
Amen.
Divine nature attributes. He spoke that into you. Let there be light. Oh, I saw this darkness in me, Doug. Well, what's your perception? What's your perception? Do you read 2 Corinthians, what is it, 3:18 or 2:18? Beholding as in a mirror all my flaws, all my failures, all of my garbage, all my stuff. Well, you're looking in the wrong mirror. Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Now, I'll admit there are days I've got to look pretty far into that mirror to see much of. But beholding as in a mirror. See, we walk by faith, not by
sight.
Remember the branch man we talked about last night? God's raising up a people who do not judge after the sight of their eyes.
Amen.
What's your perception? Well, how about this one? Try this on for size. 1 John 2:24. As for you, 1 John 2:24, as for you, keep in your hearts what you heard from the beginning. Well, the beginning of what?
Creation.
Well, if you want the context to 1 John 2:24, you back up to 1 John 1, and it talks about that which we have seen and heard from the beginning. And if you back up a little further to the book of John, it's in the beginning God created the heavens. And if you want to back up even further to Genesis 1, in the beginning God created the heavens. That's the beginning He's talking about. If you keep in your heart what you heard from the beginning. What did you hear from the beginning? You heard, let there be light. God spoke Himself into you. He spoke a momentum. He spoke a frequency into you. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because you're speaking about God speaking. And if you look at everything, whether it was through the prophets and everything else, He's always, and He has said that I will speak it before He comes, so that no man will boast.
Yeah. He speaks it. So, in other words, look at it like, we got a lot of stuff we're concerned about. And we want to pray about and stuff like that. You know, God has already spoken. God already has
Amen.
A will, a purpose over anything you and I can worry about or think about or pray about. He already, and all we got to do is tap in to what God has said about that, because no man will boast, oh, well, gee, I prayed about this and it got solved. No, God has already spoken. All we got to do is tap into what He's already said, bring that to manifest in the natural realm. God's spoken. Keep in your heart what you heard from the beginning. Now go to Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4, verse 11 and 12. I like what the Amplified Bible says. Let us therefore be zealous and exert ourselves and strive diligently to enter that rest of God, to know and experience it for ourselves, that no one may fall or perish by the same kind of unbelief and disobedience into which those in the wilderness fell. For the word that God speaks is alive and full of power.
Yeah.
Did you know that verse 11 and 12, somebody did not pick up the remote and change the channel? You know, because we talk about Hebrews 4:11, and then we generally talk about Hebrews 4:12 in a totally different setting, where the Word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, yada, yada, yada. We rarely put them together, but you know what? They do go together. Because it's talking about the same thing. Because the way that we enter into that rest and do not fall into unbelief is resting and having faith in the fact that the word that God speaks is alive, It's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's operative, energizing, effective, sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, which is the soul, and the immortal spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, the deepest parts of our nature, exposing, sifting, analyzing, judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. See, those two verses are joined together. The way that we enter into that rest is by keeping in our heart that which we heard from the beginning. And what was it we heard from the beginning? We heard the Word of God that is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged. See, it's the Word, James calls it the engrafted living Word, that has the ability to save our soul. So what are we resting in? We're resting in the Word that God spoke. Do you know what happens if you get, let's say, are there rivers? Yeah, there's rivers around here. Three rivers, isn't there? Something like that. So, you know what, if you go jump, what's the name of the one that we drive by?
Oh, Chicopee.
The Chicopee. What's going to happen if you go, you get your little inner tube, and you go and make a flying leap into the Chicopee River, you're going to what? You're going to move, aren't you?
Yeah.
Now, you're resting in your inner tube, right? But that doesn't mean you're going to be staying in the same place. Because sometimes the current out there, it gets pretty swift, doesn't it?
Yep.
See, that's the idea. We're in a relation of rest. We're resting in the inner tube in God, but the river's moving. See, we got to labor to enter into that rest, and as long as we just stay in His momentum. And what's His momentum? His Word that He spoke. His Word that He speaks. Because see, when He speaks that Word, do you know that every, and science has proven this, that every word that is ever spoken in all of history, it continues to echo throughout the atmosphere, the stratosphere, and all that kind of stuff. And especially the Word that God speaks. It's still. That Word, when the first thing He said, let there be light, it's still resonating. Still resonating. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
Is any of this making any sense?
Yes, it is.
Okay. All right. So we're back to our definition. A discrete quantity of energy proportional in magnitude to the frequency of the radiation. Let's look at radiation. Ooh, how about...
Big R.
Yeah, big R. Radiation. Big R, capital R. Isaiah 60, verse 1. It says, arise, and I love the way the Amplified says this. Arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Well, how you doing, brother? Oh, pretty good under the circumstances. Well, what are you doing under the circumstances? If you go live under the circumstances, then that's your...
It's your agreement.
It's your agreement. If you want to agree with the circumstances, you're going to be under the circumstances. Arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. Shine. Be radiant. Radiant with the glory of the Lord. For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Well, who's He talking about? Probably somebody else. Couldn't be talking about me. You know what kind of week I'd have. You know what kind of month I'd had. You know what kind of life I'd had. Whatever. You ever know people that, you know, they brighten up the whole room when they leave? Whatever.
Those are the ones you love from a distance.
Yeah, man.
Or make the other person's day when they hang up the phone.
Yeah, that's it. You know, there are those people that you don't ever ask them, how's it going? Because they'll tell you. And you don't really want to know. Arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Shine, be radiant with the glory of the Lord, for your light is come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. How about Hebrews 1:3? How about Hebrews 1:3? It says, He is the sole expression of the glory of God. I love this. The Amplified says, the light being. The light being. The outraying or radiance of the divine. Do you know that? That's what you're called to be. You are called to be a light being. The outraying, the radiance of the divine. And what I always, when I read that old movie, what was it, you know, where the aliens were swimming in the pool. What was that? And the old people, Cocoon! Yes! Remember the aliens and they looked like regular people until they unzipped themselves and then they were like, yeah, remember that? Yeah. You didn't see it?
No.
You should see it. You would like it.
Yeah.
You would.
Yeah.
You would like it.
Yeah.
It has old people. Oh, I'm just teasing. I'm messing with you. I'm just messing with you.
That's okay because I understand you do not have eyes to see.
I'm teasing you, Judy. I love that movie because I relate to those old people, you know. I do. But yeah, and they're swimming in this pool that these light beings have been. And that's kind of, but it's time to unzip. It's time to unzip because when they unzip the human suit off of them, they were like these awesome light beings. It was a cool movie. I'm a movie watcher. What can I say? The outraying, the radiance of the divine. He's the perfect imprint, the very image of God's nature, upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe by His mighty word of power. Not the power of His word, but the word of power. The word of power. Do you know what? He spoke that word of power into you and I. And that word power there, dunamis,
yeah.
It's not like dynamite. Dunamis, we've always heard that. Dunamis, dynamite. Dynamite's for blowing stuff up. That's not what God's dunamis is. God's power, God's dunamis, is more like a dynamo. And a dynamo is that little device that when you put an electric charge to it, it reproduces electricity.
Uh-huh.
And God wants to reproduce Himself.
Inside
of you and I. Yeah. A quantum leap. Now, I looked this up in the dictionary too. A quantum leap is an abrupt change or step, especially in method, information, or knowledge. A quantum leap is an abrupt change or step, especially in method, information, or knowledge. So maybe our methods have to change from time to time. Maybe our knowledge is supposed to increase. Okay. Here's another definition for a quantum leap. A sudden, highly significant advance. A breakthrough. From its use in physics, meaning the sudden jump of an electron. The sudden jump of an electron. An atom. Or from going from one energy level to another. That's a quantum leap. A breakthrough, a sudden jump of an electron. I don't know about you, but I just, this year, man, I got electrons jumping all over on the inside of me. Man. It's just like, cha, 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 cha. Yeah. I know, it's shocking. Humor. Okay, sorry. From one energy level to, just think, those poor people at our local fellowship, they hear these stupid jokes all the time, and they can always, you know, they can see them coming. And you can see this pained expression. They get on their faces when they know something's coming. It's like, oh. I just like to think of my humor as just so highly refined. Few people have the quantum energy to tap into it, you know.
Well, we have Judy.
That's true. That's true.
See, I might not miss on that one.
She's a forerunner. One who has prepared the way in humor. Bad humor. Yes.
You know, it's funny that you say this, because if, you know, if you go back into when, you know, the modern Christianity and the replacement theologies and everything else, where everything of the old is supposed to be, that's spiritual, that is not.
Right.
And if you go into Kabbalah, which was the spoken word before it was written,
yeah,
quantum theology and everything is in it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's not new.
Yeah. See, this is basically quantum theory is basically it's substantiating what we've known all along. God spoke and stuff happened.
Yeah. Matter's created, because that's one of the things that waves do, is the creation of matter. God speaks, he sends out a frequency, and stuff happens. And see, it's the same for you and I.
Amen.
It's the same for you and I. Because sometimes we're like Zacharias, and our mouth is our biggest enemy. You know? God speaks a seed into the natural realm, and we say, well, that just doesn't sound very practical. That doesn't sound very, I don't know, if, you know, we can't do that. You know, we're grasshoppers. You know, we can't take that land. We're not able, you know. And our mouth becomes this self-fulfilling prophecy and aborts the seed right there, you know.
Your comment last night was sweet, that you had reasoned out to prepare the body for a lesser of. And God just jumped out of the box for you, and he had to use, a Chinese cookie.
Yeah, a fortune cookie.
A fortune cookie.
Imagine that.
So that.
Can you imagine all those so-called Christian people that it's against Christianity to read a fortune cookie?
He would have missed it.
You know, it definitely comes into religion, because doesn't the word say that if God's got to use a jackass to speak to a
that's it.
Yeah, he'll do whatever he has to.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. Yeah, in fact, you know, we really jumped on that idea. So now when we have communion, we have sake and fortune cookie. No, I'm just teasing. Just kidding. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. But see, the temptation for some folks then would be to, okay, I need to find out God's will, so I'm going down to the Chinese restaurant.
Right.
And see, we do stupid stuff like that sometimes. And that's not it. It's not, God can speak through a fortune cookie if he wants to, but that's not his normal modus operandi.
Amen.
His normal modus operandi is either through the written word, or he speaks to our heart, or he speaks through somebody else. You know, God speaks in a lot of different ways. We don't want to limit him. You know, but see, the religious mind would do something stupid like, oh, yes, the fortune cookie. So we go and order fortune cookies for everybody at church, you know. So, anyway, it's like when I told that story, then this person asked, well, what about horoscopes? Well, you heard from God through a fortune cookie. And I said, well, here's the difference. When I want God's will, I don't go get a fortune cookie every time. It's a little different than the horoscope, okay? Now, if you want to read your horoscope, whatever. You do it, but, you know, it's nonsense. I mean, I'll bear out, it's nonsense, but whatever. That's your business. So I'm not going to seek out God's will through a horoscope. However, I would listen if all of a sudden he dropped a horoscope in front of me and it said something specific. I would listen. He could speak, but that's not his normal mode. Okay?
Amen.
Are you with me?
Basically, on the comfort, if the Lord gives you a word, what he uses to bring confirmation on that word,
he can use anything.
You know, it will always be authentic.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's not going to be in the normal realm of thinking.
Yeah. Amen. So here's what he said. He says, he told me that night, he said, leap into motion. Leap into action.
Yeah.
A quantum leap. And remember we said quantum, the word means a discrete quantity of energy proportional in magnitude to the frequency of the radiation it represents. What is the radiation that we represent? Is God. It's God. He says, leap into motion. Leap into action. Leap into destiny. Luke 1:41-44. Leap into destiny. Luke 1:41-44. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb.
Amen.
The babe leaped in her womb. Do you realize that what the babe that was in Elizabeth was who? It was John. It was John the Baptist. He wasn't a Methodist, by the way. That was humor. So John, it was John the Baptist, and it's like when the reason for his existence came in the room, because Jesus was in the womb of Mary.
Right.
And the only reason for John the Baptist to exist was Jesus.
Right on.
Yeah, because he was the forerunner, right? And when the reason for his existence came in the room, that baby leapt.
Yeah.
Do you understand that the reason for your existence is in the room? And his name is Jesus.
Amen.
And we better have some babies leaping on the inside of us, man. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. That's some pretty awesome stuff. How are we doing on time? I mean, I'm afraid if I go into this next part, it'll take a while. What's the consensus here? Anybody give me 5 minutes? Anybody give me five? How many will give me five? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30.
I'll give you five. I
said,
can I go to the bathroom?
Now, you can go to the bathroom.
Now, you're a pastor, so you say I need to get my answers from my... From a pastor. So
no, I said from your pastor.
Can you explain why somebody has this running water here? Every service, okay? And I have ears to hear.
There we go.
I didn't do it. I didn't buy it. I didn't plug it in.
We have a fountain in our church too.
This is the truth. When they first brought that in, I had the same problem. And I think God has done something, because it doesn't bother me anymore. But there was a season, oh my God, we plugged that in and I'd have for the bathroom. So it does have value.
We used to, when we first moved into our house in North Carolina, I found this fountain. I'd always wanted this fountain. I love fountains. So I bought this fountain, and it was really an outdoor fountain, but I wanted it in the living room. So I put it in the living room, and it's real cool because it's this lion's head, and the water comes out of the lion's head into a little reservoir, but then it has three other little things that goes down into a bigger reservoir. Well, unfortunately, it sounded like three guys peeing. Really noisy, so we'd sit in the living room and turn on the fountain, and everybody'd be sitting there. And you know, after about 5 minutes, thank goodness we have a bathroom right by the living room. After about 5 minutes, everybody would be fighting for the bathroom, you know. So finally, my wife wised up and put some shells and stuff in it to
kill some.
Noise. And then actually finally she moved it out on the front, on the back porch one day when I was gone, and I came home and the fountain had been moved in. So at any rate, it works much better out there. So. Me and my brilliant ideas. In fact, when we first moved in, I had all this stuff that I'd gotten in South Africa, and so I decided, man, let's have an African theme in the living room. And so I had all this African stuff, and I had these weird African masks on the wall, And I just thought it was really awesome. So I had then this kind of leopard print thing rug on the floor. And I really liked my African theme. Till one day I came home and it was all gone. It was all gone out of the living room. My wife said, "I cannot stand to look at those masks anymore." So she put them in our bedroom. So now they're... I just hope they weren't fertility gods or something. We got four children. We got four and we don't want no more. So at any rate, where were we? Do I just need to stop or something?
No, I think you're fine.
Are you sure? Okay, well, I'll just touch on this. If I can get my brain back here, so... So here's what he said. He said, "All right, I just told jokes during the bathroom break." So
I was gonna say you didn't start without us.
No, I didn't. Man, you guys are fast. That was amazing. Kim was timing you, so we had a bet. We had a bet going.
You sound like Eeyore.
Eeyore, who
did you call
that?
Okay, so my question is, if you're an American before you go to the bathroom, what are you after you're in there?
I have an answer for you.
European. Oh, that's you can edit this thing, can't you?
No, you can't, because that's why I didn't speak it. That shows that I have maturity.
Oh! Well, I never claimed to have any maturity. I'm just a big kid. So. Please edit this out. Especially.
Make sure you give his name and email address.
Facebook. Although it would flesh out any religious spirits. You know. Oh. Okay.
The greatest gift is to show your humanity. Because, no, really, because from where I came from, it was like you looked at... Well, I came from a Catholic, so the priests were like Jesus Christ himself. Oh, that's how they portrayed them.
Yeah.
You were in such awe, and if they had let you know that they were human first, then... You would never have gotten into the messes that you get into, you know? Thinking that they were so terrible because they failed in an area.
Yeah. Well, they were no Europeans and not... Yeah,
okay. We're back. Everybody's had their potty break.
Amen.
All right. All this talk about it, I'm starting to have to go. I'll be back. No, jeez. I'm just messing with it. Okay, so here's what God said. He said, a new dimension, a new height. Now, I'm not reading out of the scripture. This is just something that he spoke to me during prayer, during our corporate prayer time. He said, a new dimension, a new height, a new place of perception. This is where I am taking you. Now, I read an article a while back, and this physicist, his name is Itzhak Barz. He's out of the Department of Physics and Astronomy at the USC, University of Southern California. He has an interesting theory. Now, he believes there is another dimension of time other than the one that we are used to. And he's been conducting research to prove his theory. And here's what he says. He says, there is not just one dimension of time. There are two. One whole dimension of time and another of space have until now gone entirely unnoticed by us. So time is no longer a simple line from the past to the future. But in a four-dimensional world consisting of three dimensions, one is of space and one of time. That's what we think we live in. Three dimensions of space and one of time. That would be four dimensions. Instead, he says the passage of history, he envisions it as more like curves embedded in six dimensions, with four dimensions of space and two of time. Interesting. Which really only just goes to prove what we've known all along, because do you understand in the New Testament the word time? There are two words for time. One is chronos, and one is kairos.
Right.
And they're two very different. Chronos is the time of the natural realm.
Yeah.
24 hours in a day, yada, yada, yada. Kairos is a different time altogether. Kairos is the appointed time.
Yeah.
That's the time of the spiritual realm. And the appointed time, the kairos time, really has little to do with our chronos time. So there's already, we've already been aware of two dimensions of time. Okay? Now, for a whole lot of years, the scientific community has had a bit of a dilemma because you've got two basic theories. You've got theory of relativity and quantum theory. And these two things, the equations that they use for one will not work with the other. In other words, quantum theory is the study of very tiny, minute things like atoms and all those little things. And relativity is the study of large objects like planets. But the equations that they use for large objects, it simply does not work when you come down to small objects. So it's this big gap in there. And here's what he says. He says that there's a puzzle, a piece of the puzzle that's been missing in our physical reality. He thinks that one of the missing pieces is a hidden dimension of time. He says with two different times, many of the mysteries of today's laws of physics will begin to disappear. And see, when you add that in with the idea of quantum theory, which everything is at its most elemental form is waves or frequency or vibration, that gap between quantum theory and relativity, that gap is eliminated. Okay? And see, he says it has to do with time. Now, I don't know about you, but that gets me kind of excited. See, chronos time is a simple line from the past to the future. Now, what if kairos time were more circular or spherical? Think about that for a minute. Now, here, recent quantum theory shows additional circular spherical dimensions within the three. In other words, we think of three dimensions, and quantum theory is saying that every time you have a place where a vertical and a horizontal connect, within that point of connection, what would you call that? There's a term I'm looking for. Yeah, intersection. That's good. Within the intersection, there are spherical. What's the other word I'm looking for? It's not just a simple intersection like this. There's also a spherical element of stuff. There's a better word than stuff, but I just can't think of it. Sound like my 15-year-old son. What you doing?
Stuff.
What?
Connection.
Yeah, but it's like their dimension. That's what I'm looking for. Dimension. There are spherical dimensions within every intersection. Okay?
If you look at the X itself, then you will see that it goes like this.
Yeah.
This dimension that you see here, you know, binds to the other one that you can't see.
Yeah, so absolutely.
They end up being like this.
Because see, just because we can't see it doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
What I'm thinking of is Acts 2, when the day of Pentecost had fully come.
Ah, the appointed time, yes. Yeah.
And the meeting produces now a whole new realm of energy released into us.
A quantum leap.
Exactly.
Yes, yes.
Doesn't that have to do when you get into like with the Greeks and they were looking at basically everything they believed in It was basically on what they saw.
They were reasoning with
with what they saw. And the word itself says that don't go by what you see.
And that's the difference between the Greek / Western mindset, and because this Bible that we have was not written to a Greek Western mindset. It was written. It's spiritual language. And it's written to more of a Hebrew / Eastern mindset. We compartmentalize everything, but that concept is very foreign to. But see, you know, and so if we're talking about time being spherical or more round, then scriptures like Isaiah 46 make a little more sense. Isaiah 46:10 says, "Declaring the end and the result from the beginning, and from ancient times things that are not yet done." See, that's how God sees things. So maybe God is seeing not just our simple, you know, linear. We always think of time as linear and progressional, but maybe God sees it. If He sees the end from the beginning, maybe He's seeing it more spherical. Now, what does this have to do with our everyday life, though? Basically, when you distill all this down to its essence, time is really how we measure how things are falling apart, isn't it? I mean, for the most part, it's how we measure death and decay. You know, before Adam transgressed, before Adam sinned, we know that he brought sin, death, and decay into the world. You know, he basically, time was irrelevant because he lived in an ever-present now because nothing was decaying, nothing was falling apart. Okay? Yeah. So he lived in an ever-present now. Free from the constraints, free from all the ramifications of death and decay. And maybe, just maybe, that's where God wants us to live. Now, at age 53, I'm liking this idea a lot. Because, you know, my passport picture from 2003, that's coming up on 10 years, I do look younger now than I did then. However, there are other things going on in me that's, you know, it's like, okay, thanks a lot, Adam. Sin, death, and decay, you know. And see, what if God wants us to, what if there's a realm that we can just be outside of all that? Yeah, I kind of like that idea. I like that idea. Ever present now. Now go to Titus 3:5. See, as I think about things like this, words keep coming up in my spirit like restoration, regeneration, regenesis. What was it you said last night, Kim?
Recreation.
Go to Genesis 3:5. It says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration." Regeneration. How about if we got regenerated? If God just took us from this dimension of linear time that is always progressing, and if He took us into a place of regeneration where time really He did it with Sarah, didn't He?
Yes, He did.
I mean, we're talking other side of the cross, and we're talking Sarah was how old?
90.
Now, I have not met too many 90-year-old women that you went, ooh la la. I mean, you just, but God did it, and it was that side of the cross. Yeah. I mean, it was such an issue that Abram tried to pass her off as his sister. Remember the whole, and if God can do it that side of the cross, I'm thinking, hallelujah, Kelly Fortune. Yeah, baby.
There's a future.
Do it for my wifey. I'm just teasing. I love her as she is. But if you... I'm kidding.
Remember the words you speak.
Yes! Regeneration! And see, a regenesis brings a new reality. A new reality. And see, that's really what we're all about, is this new reality. He went on to say, a new dimension, a new height, a new place of perception. This is where I'm taking you. I'm beckoning you to leave the past and the place of comfort and familiarity. Ah. And see, that's where we get in trouble in church. We don't want to leave the past. What?
That's Abraham.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So Deuteronomy 34, verse 8 says, "Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended." And that's what happens in church all the time. The days of weeping and mourning for the way we used to do things, you know. La, 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 la. You go up into Joshua 1, 2, and 3. "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel, and every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you, as I said unto Moses." We've got to leave that place of comfort and familiarity, and it's a picture of Abraham, and it's also a picture of the children of Israel, because they got used to that wilderness. They got used to their captivity. Want to go back into captivity? They were used to the wilderness. We get used to stuff even though it stinks. Why do you think some people stay in certain churches that and they hate it there? Well, because we've always gone here. And, oh, well, God has us here to change things. Well, yeah, good luck with that. If you ain't the pastor, or you ain't, it's not going to change. Just, that's the way it is. Find some place you can get the vision and move with it. So he says, "I'm beckoning you to leave the past, the place of comfort and familiarity." He says, "Will you move with the wind? Will you breathe in the breath of life? And will you move?" Wind is what? Wind is air in motion. Wind is air in motion. And remember what we said about God and about light? Light is momentum, motion. Wind is air that's in. Now, wind is caused by this. It's caused by the uneven heating of the earth by the sun. Now, during the daytime, air over land, it heats more quickly than air over water. And as the warm, light air expands and rises, the heavier, cooler air rushes in, and that creates the phenomenon of wind. And the process is then reversed at night, where the air over the land cools more rapidly than the air over the water. And so wind is basically, it's born of the effect of the sun upon the earth and the water.
Yes.
And what are we? We are earthen vessels, and we're about 80, aren't we about 80%? And it's the effect of the sun, the S-O-N, upon the earth and the water. And that is what produces the wind. See, God just didn't speak in and blow in wind for no reason at all. It's to move us. It's to move us. Genesis 1:2. "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, the Ruach, the breath of Elohim, moved upon the waters." Here's what the Brown Driver Briggs says about the definition of Ruach. It means wind, breath, mind, spirit. Never referred to as a depersonalized force.
Ah.
So that word ruach, it's never used as a depersonalized force. It's always personal. It's God's, it's the essence of who God is, His breath, His wind. Yeah, that's it. God said, "Let there be light." There was light. God saw the light, saw it was good. God divided the light from the darkness. Now, the wind of God, the breath of God, brings forth the voice of God. That's what he said. His spirit, his breath, his wind was moving upon the water. That brought forth the voice of God. And then the word of God brings forth a dividing of light from darkness. See, that's the progression. Is his wind, his breath, his essence, brings forth the voice. And then the voice of God brings forth a dividing of light from darkness. And that's still what God's doing today. He breathes his ruach, he breathes his wind. That produces the voice of God. And by the way, if you're wondering about the voice of God, this is it. We're it. If God's going to speak, he's going to use us. And then that word, that's why prayer is still important. See, we never get too spiritual for prayer. We pray different than we used to pray. We don't just bring our laundry list. You know, God, I want you to do this, 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 and this. No, we don't do that. We tap into what's on God's heart. What's His prayer? Then we bring that forward. We speak that out. And that brings a division of light and darkness. For the Word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. That's the dividing of light and darkness. Are you with me? Okay. Now, Genesis 8:1. God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. In other words, they separated. See, the wind of God does two things. It disperses the flood, and it brings forth the covenant. Because then the next, in Genesis 9:11, it says, I will establish my covenant with you. See, God had to disperse the flood. He had to disperse, bring a dividing. He brought a dividing. The waters assuaged. And then that brought forth covenant. Because he says, Genesis 9:11, I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there be any more a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you. For perpetual generations I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a token of a covenant between me and the earth. Now I've got to wind this down because we're going way too long here. So how about this? Acts 2:1-4. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. Okay, we know what happened there. Go to John 3:8. John 3:8, Amplified Bible says, the wind blows, the wind breathes where it wills. And though you hear its sound, yet you know neither where it comes from nor where it's going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. You know, wind is a renewable energy source. That's one of the big things in producing energy now, is tapping into the power of the wind. Wind is a renewable energy source. I gotta wind this down, bro. So make it real quick.
Listen to what you just said, and if you look and go back and get the example of Elijah, that's why he could transport.
Yeah.
Oh, because that's good.
Yeah.
He lived in the Spirit.
Yeah.
If you live in the Spirit, you can transport.
Yeah. See, wind, it's the same for us. It says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. And how do eagles fly? They catch the thermals, basically, is what they do. Now, he went on to say, will you rise with the current that is blowing? Have I not said you shall mount up with wings as eagles? He went on to say, this is the day that eagle saints are arising. He said, this is the day that men of old and angels have desired to look into. This is the day you have been preparing for. He went on and he said, do not say yet another day and then. No, I say today, if you hear my voice. He said, rise up, my eagles. Rise to a new place of clarity, to a new place of perception and demonstration. Rise up today. See, this is the day to come into agreement. It's the day to come into alignment. And that will produce advancement. Amen. Stand to your feet. Take out your Bible. We're going to make some declarations here. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
Oh, come on. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am who it says I am.
I am who it says I am.
I have what it says I have.
I have what it says I have.
I can do what it says I can do.
I do what it says I can do.
I will rise up with wings as an eagle.
I will rise up with wings as an eagle.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now move.